Are you ready for this?
Yeah, you heard me. The podcast's back. Strauss resigns, Cook is in, KP's available, Swan's injured, Treadwell's in, and we are back.
Whoa!
Oh, we're back!
We are back. Probably, on reflection, the wrong time to take a fortnight off, I would say.
True.
Sunning ourselves on a beach in a secret location. What have we missed, Ross? The KP affair, the to-ing and fro-ing, England's dramatic run chase at Lord's, noble defeat, 2020 finals day, Strauss's resignation, and England A against Australia A.
That's the one everyone's talking about.
It's the times like this that I like to quote Linton Kwesi Johnson's poem, Five Nights of Bleeding. It's war among the rebels. Madness! Madness! War!
Jesus Christ, that was dramatic.
England is tearing itself apart. And I have to say, these are boom days for the cricket pundits.
Oh, these are absolute...
A lot of them are coming out of hibernation, aren't they?
Oh, with all these old cricket pundits that have been underground for years, just rearing their little fat heads and waiting to sup on the warm tea milk of cricket.
Failure. Well, they're going, is it 1999 again?
Is it?
Am I young again?
Is it retro?
Because everybody loves England when they lose.
They do. Everyone wants a piece of it. You know, we're back. And I did notice very much, particularly when we lost the one dayer, that people were very quick to say things like, look, let's not forget, England are not very good at cricket. They're just not. And I just don't know whether I agree, Alex. I don't think we need to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater.
Well, I don't think anyone likes a winner. I, for example, now don't like South Africa anymore.
Oh, I've never liked them.
Yeah, even the good players like Amlo, I don't like him.
I have to say I like him because he's got a great beard and he reminds me of Moeen Ali.
Cracking beard. And anything that reminds me of Moeen Ali, particularly late at night, is very welcome.
Oh, it's lovely.
All right, well, we need to turn to the big news because we've only got a limited amount of time. News flash.
Pop lost.
It's an inevitable... I was going to say, Ross, Pod Blast, that it's an inevitable and unhappy truth that many of our listeners worldwide, particularly on the subcontinent, don't use the Pod Blast for immediate news. They look upon us as purveyors of reflective consideration more than purveyors of breaking news.
Yes, editorial view. Reflection.
Yes. And consequently, it may come as not much of a surprise to the majority of our listeners when they hear the following news, that at 12 o'clock this afternoon in a press conference called by the ECB late last night by Hugh Morris, Andrew Strauss, captain of the England Test Match cricket team, resigned after exactly 50 matches in charge of the team and 100 Test matches as a player.
You heard it here last.
He also manages a feat that other previous England captains haven't managed, which is he did not weep.
Have others wept?
Vaughan.
Did he weep?
Like a child,
Vaughan. I don't remember it.
Oh, he wept. Did Hussain weep? I think he did.
Probably.
Atherton didn't weep, because by that time they were jabbing so many drugs into his spine just to keep him standing.
Yeah.
He couldn't respond to stimuli, could he?
No, he couldn't. He's a great guy, Atherton. We retract everything we've said about him on previous podcasts.
He's definitely not a prick.
No, he's not.
Anyway, we don't like to tarry on the podcast, so that's the news.
Tarry not.
Strauss, as far as we're concerned, is now dead to us. And can we try something a little controversial?
Go on.
I'm not going to miss him.
Wow.
Yeah?
That's harsh.
What do you think about Strauss?
You sound a little bit like a sort of bitter divorcee there when you say that. Take your bags, Andrew, and get out of town because you are nothing without me anyway. Look, I think he's a great... and I say look. I think he was a terrific captain. I think they say batting's all about timing, and I think he chose the right time to leave.
that's really poignant.
Yeah.
Here's the case against Strauss.
Yeah.
And this was made pithily in one line by somebody in one of those long, mad feeds that go beneath articles on the Crick Info website, where he said Strauss was a rubbish captain, England were constantly tearing themselves apart. And all I'd have to say is, they give him a lot of credit, but he was in charge 2009 to 2012. Graham Smith has been in charge for something like 10 years.
Mm.
And during that period of time, the KP thing has flown back and forth in various ways.
Mm.
There's been triumphs, but there's also been disaster in Pakistan. His captaincy could be described on occasions as being slightly staid.
Mm.
And you came up to Headingley with me for the test match.
Certainly did.
And you've got an eye for technique.
Tell me about it.
And I think you'll agree with me that his forward press, that Bob Wilmer-style forward press, has become almost a parody of itself. He was on tiptoes, almost falling forward as the ball whistled past his neck.
Yeah.
And he just didn't seem to know how to score a run.
No, but, you know, KP got a bit done over for many of you will have heard, saying, bowl at him around the wicket. Just bowl at him at all, I think. I think he just looked in terrible
How
nick,
do you know it? That's what KP said in his text?
Oh, that's the rumour. That became the rumour one day.
Is that the only piece of advice that was given? Because I've seen it in plural. He said these so-called provocative texts were advice on what to do bowling against them. But is it just Strauss? You know, bowl around the wicket?
Apparently, if
this entire thing is one text message from KP saying bowl round the wicket to Strauss, then what the fuck is he doing being dropped?
Yeah, I mean, but apparently that's libelous. But, anyway, you know, you just have to watch the man. He's a terrific player. I mean, I think take nothing away from the fact that he was a fantastic batsman in the early part of his career. And as his powers as a batsman decreased, his know-how, nous, and the belief he instilled into the team brought us to number one. I think in all three forms of the game, and to say that that's a small feat is ridiculous.
Although he wasn't in the ODI team when they became number one.
That is true, actually. No, that's a good point. But, you know, fantastic cricketer.
Was he in the 2020 team?
Oh, that's... Well, he wasn't in the 2020 team.
He looked after the test team.
But he was the sort of daddy, the boring dad of the team. And I know, I think he's a terrific player. And I think, as I say, I think he knew when to hang up his bat.
I will not miss his dour, slightly press conferences.
Mm.
His sort of rather strong forearms and strong jawline, but lack of anything to say. Wherefore, Strauss, the Mediterranean gesture, the Paolo Di Canio type role. You know, where was the romance, the emotion? Everything chuntering along. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the appointment of, Alistair Cook.
Oh, he's going to be good, isn't he?
It's going to be more of the same, isn't
he? He's more smiley.
He does smile. He's cross-eyed, too.
He's a bit cross-eyed, isn't he? He looks a bit like... he looks a bit Indian as well, doesn't he?
It's strange, because sometimes I think, there's an attractive man, 6 foot tall, you know, jawline that could cut glass.
Yeah.
And then other times I think, who is that? Cross-eyed loon.
Who's that sort of weird Rain Man character?
He's got incredibly enormous big bags under his eyes, as if he's seen rather too much.
If you've switched on, by accident to this podcast, you'll realise that we do review people's faces quite a lot. That's a large feature of the podcast.
It saves us from having to look at any statistics, or watch any cricket.
Yeah, we just review their lovely faces.
Well, all right, let's move on, because Strauss is dead to us, like we said, and England are going to have to rejig their batting order. Well, this is going to come to my thesis statement, which is that England have to pick Kevin Peterson to tour India.
Well, I think KP should come in. And actually,
this is a golden opportunity, isn't it?
It's a good opportunity. I don't know whether they'll take it, because I've got a feeling he might have burnt his bridges there. He might not be offered a centre
contract. Well, if they don't take it now with the new broom, I struggle to think of circumstances in which they will take it, because Australia are coming next summer. Australia are there thereafter. So they've only got the New Zealand tour as well.
Mm.
He said he's available. The maximum you're going to get out of KP is 2-3 more years. You need him for the back-to-back Aussie series. If they don't take it now, I don't think they'll take it at all.
I think that's very well said. It's timing. And again, as good as timing as Strauss's is, I worry about the rest of the management, because I think they could have sorted this out a long time ago. And you're starting to think that there's a point when sort of sternness becomes stubbornness.
Yeah.
And I think Flower is absolutely terrific. But I feel that maybe he or if maybe Giles Clark or whoever it is that's sort of taking the lead on this, in on how they react to these sort of matters, particularly in terms of media, which is becoming a bigger, bigger thing in cricket. They need to just react quicker and get, you know, deal with things, because at the moment they just haven't dealt with it, and they're the biggest enemy to themselves.
Well, do you want to know what the two things are that puzzle me most about the current England management after the KP affair? Mm. The first one is Graham Swann. Yeah. Is he injured or is he not injured? Because he's pulled out of the ODI squad today for the rest of the ODI series, Treadwell in. Incidentally, I think interesting opportunity to look at Treadwell prior to the India tour. Treadwell can bat a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pulled out, but he's going to be back for the 2020 series because they want to play him in the 2020 World Cup.
Mm.
He's apparently got a tennis injury, which he has an operation on every now and then.
A tennis elbow injury? Or,
yeah, exactly.
Or an injury,
yeah. Course, yeah. Playing they go tennis. In, or he might be... No, no, a tennis elbow injury.
Okay,
what,
sure.
What they would call in America the Tommy John's injury. You ever hear that?
Ooh, no.
Strange. It's basically bits of bone floating around in his elbow.
Ah.
There's no doubt about the fact that Swan's been below par this summer.
Yep.
He had a rest before, then they played him, then he's not. If they'd just known a few months ago, could they have not had the operation? He'd have been fit for India. Because, I mean, they'd say they needed him against South Africa, but, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We had him, it didn't work. They, in fact, didn't even use him for the second test, the one test where it spun and we needed KP to take four wickets. I think it's odd what they're doing with Swann. If he's injured, he's injured. If he's not, he's not. But they're farming him along. I don't think he's going to go to India.
Well, that's a big claim. They manage people. They seem to manage people nowadays and see how they go. I always think sometimes they hope that a loss of form will allow them to drop them and then he can have an operation rather than... Surely you're better to deal with the thing in the first place and then not regret
well,
it.
Well, I've got the other one. The other one, and it's elbow related again, because I like him as a guy and I don't think that it's simply form, is Bresnan. Mm. And again, I can't work it out because Wokes comes in for the game, the first ODI, which gets rained off. And my understanding is that Wokes was in for Bresnan. But then Bresnan is picked for the next game and they say that Patel is replacing Wokes.
Mm.
Well, that wasn't my understanding. Regardless of either way, Wokes is the Bresnan replacement. Mm. Shouldn't have both been in the same team. Mm. Bresnan's a little bit injured again. Let's have a look at Wokes in the ODIs.
Mm.
Because the India tour coming up, you know, it's really a question whether Wokes is the kind of bowler who can even bowl in those circumstances. But by heck can he bat?
Yes,
I mean he can be number seven.
I think so. Yeah, and I'd like certainly in one day internationals, I'd like to see him have a go at number seven. Hang on a minute, we've got a news flash coming in here. We've got news on KP. Okay, boy, just ask me, how's it going?
Hi, Kevin. How is
no,
it going?
No, not like that. Ask me. Say hey, Kev, as if you've just come into my house.
All right, okay, yeah, sure. Hey, Kev, how are you doing?
Hi, man, keep your voice down.
Sorry, Kev.
I was just reading some old books. I'm smart.
Okay, Kev, what you reading?
The Hunger Games.
That's a good book, Kev.
I don't understand it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Kev.
What's your question, man?
Kev... can you lend me some milk?
No, man. Look, just ask me about what's going on with my career or my commitment to the team.
All right, Kev, what's going on with your career and your commitment to the team?
I'm glad you asked. I'm totally committed to Team KP. I love everyone on Team KP. We all get on very well. Going forward, I want to make myself completely available to anything that Team KP wants of me, so I'm completely committed to Team KP.
I'm sure we're all pretty reassured about that, Kev. What about England?
Well, I want to clear something up. I don't think I went far enough earlier. People have been saying, maybe he told him how to bowl at Strauss. I'm going to say it very quick, so if everyone got a pen, I'm going to tell everyone exactly what I think right now. Strauss ran the wicket, Cook bouncer, Trott Yorker, Bell just bowl at him. He'll get himself out if he gets bored, and he's very short. Ravi, just shout at him. Pryor, just bouncer again, and all the others bouncer as well.
Wow, KP, that's a lot of information.
Well, I just wanted to get it out there so there's no misunderstanding.
Well, Thanks, KP, for your time.
Well, thanks for your time. I hope everyone listens to this and lets the ECB know that I am fully committed to myself.
Wow, well, what do you think of that news?
I can't believe
breaking
some of the stuff
news
he said.
From KP.
Wow, that was an exclusive.
Incredible. Excuse me, you heard it only here on the Podblast.
And if you might not hear it again. Who knows if you'll ever hear that? And if you don't, just remember that we are the only ones with real cricket news these days, aren't we?
Well, from one famous South African to another. Ross, I know that you've been dying to talk about another pundit from the Switch Hit Podblast, one of our favourite podcasts. Although, incidentally, just going slightly off on track, are you enjoying as much as I am the James Richardson, the reintroduction of that football podcast with Barry Glendenny?
Tell
that
you what,
man is an absolute genius.
You love Glendenny, don't you?
I love Glendenny. He's just, I could listen to his voice for hours, and he is so turgid.
He is brilliant, and Richardson's so smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just Mr. Smooth. He rivals DeBell for smoothness, I think.
Oh, team them up. If there was a kind of Pod Blast superstars.
Yeah, smooth
they
hour.
They could compete.
With Richardson, maybe we'll have more on that later in another episode.
But anyway, really enjoyable.
Oh,
anyway,
terrific.
Going back generally to the other thing.
Ferdis Munder.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. What I love about Ferdis Munder is she comes in, she throws out these quotes, and everything she says inevitably ends in something like, so everything is going really well and everybody is really happy. I'm like, Ferdis, that's a kids' TV show. That's not cricket commentary. That's not punditry. That's not sports journalism. What we want you to come in and say, he's raped him. That guy beat up a girl. I don't know about him. He's got no nads. That guy is a dick. That's what we want. We want to know salacious gossip and certain doom and terrible ides about these people. We don't know how everything's fine and it's going to be all right.
I don't know. In all fairness to Ferdis, South Africa are doing rather well at the moment. What on earth is she going to say?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. They are doing really well.
She's let us think otherwise.
Not that she's let us think otherwise. But even if you are doing well, like the things like the Switch Hit look, take a leaf out of England's book. The last 2 years have been number one in the world.
We've never
for a second have we let that go. We've said the smallest little thing, the smallest little disruption. We've gone, well, he's nuts. He's an idiot. He doesn't like him. He's fat. And we haven't stopped. He's injured. And we will not stop, Ferdis. And please, you're not some sort of representative. Sometimes I feel like I'm your dad and you've gone to the Reading Festival and done some things you shouldn't have done when you're 16. And you've gone, oh, yeah, no, it was cool. Just had a nice time. When really, there's some awful stuff had gone on there. And I know it's going on, Ferdis. I know you're out there drinking with boys, hanging out with the bands, maybe getting a little naked. Sure. Tell me about it. Don't give me the extracts. Don't give me the bits for dad. I want to know the real stuff. I want to know the juicy Lucy.
All right, well, let's have a little listen to Ferdis and get an idea, get some evidence behind your allegations.
So, first of all, this was Ferdis's first appearance. She's great, Ferdis. She's got this sunny atmosphere. But very early on, I believe it was Jonathan Harris-Bass that tried to call her on perhaps being, you know, like the spokesperson for the team rather than a journalist. Here's what she responded to that.
You went through all of the emotions that those players did, almost.
Yeah, look, I'll have to say up front that I've never been a huge supporter. I'm just not that kind of a person. So the first day, it was just tough test cricket, wasn't it?
To support... you're not that sort of person to support things. OK, Ferdis, fine. Well, let's see what she said later on the show. And this is just an example of many, of just the general upbeatness, which... she's perfectly, of course she's happy and of course everyone's happy. This is pure sour grapes. But listen to the woman. She's, you know, have a dig, love. Have a dig. Don't say stuff like this.
And then Jacques Kallis, I'll actually tell you that Jacques Kallis was asked when Graham Smith declared, would you like to go on and get your double 100? And he said, no, it's all right. I think we should declare now. Which is, you know, for somebody who waited 147 tests to get his first double 100, he's now got two in 2 years and he could have possibly got a third. That's just a sign of how the South African team are thinking now. They're sort of saying, this is about us. It's not about individuals.
And then Jack Cassett, and afterwards they said, well, you know, should we send you a match fee directly to your house or your agent? He said, no, I don't need my match fee. Today was all about love.
Jack Callis, I've said this before on the show, but the way he banged on about Boucher getting done in the eye, you'd think Boucher had been raped, chopped up and left in a garbage pan. It was as if the man was dead. It's a weird vibe, actually. A lot of cricket teams that are very successful take on a kind of a strange, sort of touchy-feely vibe. Do you remember the Aussies with their trips to Gallipoli and they're banging on about the baggy green?
It's this attitude of success that you've got to get out of your system because you might be at number one, but you'll be boring like the Aussies were. They were at number one for a long time, but they were boring. Not us. We were always teetering on the brink, always having a moment when you think this is all going to turn to shit, and then it did, and that's what makes us brilliant.
And you know what? That's why I've always been a massive fan of Indian cricket as well.
They're brilliant at it.
Because they're so contorted and everything's just so difficult, but they're so brilliant. Mm. And Pakistan as well, to a certain extent, but particularly in India, it's just they're just tearing themselves to shreds as they get more and more successful and more rich. Mm. And there's also something, there's almost something positively English about that.
There's something just brilliant about it. It's the theatre of the whole thing. And Furtis, look, I love your commentary, sure. But next time you've got a story about Jack Kellis, don't come over and say he's a lovely guy and he loves everyone and he's such a lovely chap. Tell me about his porn dungeon.
Quick nods to our old friend, The Statistic.
Yes.
And what we're really thinking about is who's going to replace Strauss on this tour at the top
New
of the
Boys.
Order.
It's a section called New Boys.
New Boys, B-O-Y-Z.
Yeah, sexy.
Let's start with the very conservative version, which is trotting to open. What is this theory about trot opening? Has he actually ever opened? Are we clear about this?
He bats like an opener. He comes out, he plays his natural game. He's not a sort of classy three. He's a stubborn, stodgy, sort of like when South African opener Neil McKenzie played. He'd just stick in there and he's gritty, and I think people see him as an opener. And to be honest, I would be very surprised right at the top of this feature if that's what didn't happen.
Well, he's a right-hander, Cook's a left-hander. I like that. Yeah. That really helps, I think, with disrupting people's lines. Mm. He's averaging 50 in Test cricket. And as you pointed out when I said today, has Trott ever opened? He's basically been opening for about a year now because one of Strauss and Cook always gets out about third ball.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, but, you know, mostly Strauss as well. Not to have a go, Strauss, come on. Look, this is a celebration of his life.
All right, well, working back in age, and we're not working, but let's just go generally. The man who crickinfo.com describes as the next cab off the rank behind Strauss and Alistair Cook is our old friend Michael Carberry.
Of Carberry Corner fame.
Long-term weakness with Carberry is his inability to back up our love for him with the power of runs.
Yes.
He has got 148 against Scotland back on the 4th of June. Mm. But since then, 150. He never puts together the kind of runs.
No.
And he's 30. He's almost 32 years old now.
I'm glad you mentioned the runs in that way. Not in a sort of, I'm not going to make any sort of diarrhea joke, but I do think it's the sheer amount of good innings, which went for Compton early on, that does get you noticed. Mm. And I don't, unfortunately, just as this has happened, I don't think any of the new batsmen are as great a run as they could be. We'll take a look at that later.
Yeah, I mean, Carberry, great fielder though.
Sure.
I don't think that's going to be an issue for them. You do have to consider the fact that somebody's got to go in the slips instead of Strauss. And actually, one of the things we didn't look at with these players is whether they can field in the slips, because Cook shouldn't be in the slips, as we've seen from the amount that he's juggled. But anyway, also working down in age, and he's no spring chicken either. He's 29 years old still. Nick Compton. Can we replace one South African with another? Oh, that's unfair, isn't it?
No.
Oh, that's unfair. Compton's averaging 43 at first-class level. He gets 46 against Australia A on the 7th of August. And he picked up a few runs here and there. Nothing massive, but he scored a couple of 50s and he seems to be ticking along. Maybe not quite as well at the beginning as the beginning of the season.
No, it was more sparkling, but I tell you what, he's got a few more matches towards the end. We get back into County Championship mode very soon. There's a more four-day games for all you cricket lovers, and I think that will give him a good run.
Well, the County Championship's really heating up. I mean, next pod blast, we're going County Championship.
Oh,
we
have to.
It's
going to
be great. Yeah. And the question again against all of these guys, and particularly people like Compton, who didn't really play the lesser levels of the England team and didn't go on those old tours under 19 game, can he play spin? Can he play low, slow wickets? Because, you know, that's really going to be what it's all about in India. Let's try instead, and this is a man who's probably about the right age to take the step up, in that he's 25 years old, Varun Chopra, who actually opened for England Lions against Australia A on the 14th of August, albeit he only got 10 runs. But he came in and did that. He's playing for Warwickshire. He's been a part of the slump recently with Warwickshire, but broadly speaking, he's done well for them. He has to do well at such a strong county. Mm. Only averages 35 in first-class cricket.
Yeah, could be better. I think that's a bit of a black mark against the old name, but he's supposed to look great if you watch him back. Very classy player, apparently.
Yeah, well, he's captained the England under-19s in 2005, averaging 48 in those test matches. I mean, long time ago. I don't know. I just do not think England are going to pick Chopra to open the
test. No, I don't think they'll pick Chopra. I really can't see them picking Carberry. I think it'll be the middle order that step up, unless they bring in Nick Compton, possibly, or our last choice,
Joe Root. This is going right the other way. 21 years old. He's been right the way through the system. England Lions, England under-19s, going all the way down. And he's been playing as well for England Lions against Australia A. 6-70 in the first game at Manchester, and then 24 on the 14th of August. His scores aren't
there?
Amazing. Yeah, he chokes me up, Joe Root. He looks like such a child. I want to feed
know.
Him.
I know. God, yeah. You look emotional.
Have a good meal. Teach him about shaving and manliness. He looks so young. Can you imagine a team that begins with Joe Root and then has James Taylor and Bairstow?
I think it would be true. Well,
do you? That would be one of the riskiest, youngest batting lineups England have fielded in years. I'd be right back to sort of the bad old days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the bad old days. I've got a feeling that these guys are coming in just a few years before they would have done ordinarily. But I don't think that's any bad thing. I think they might make the leap. It'll give them time before the Australia back-to-back series. And I think these boys could be better than you think.
Well, I think Trott's going up. I think Pryor's going to 6. I think Patel's going to 7. That's my guess for India.
I love that fat boy.
All right. Funky, isn't it, Ross?
Very sexy.
All right, we don't have much time left, but we just want to say thanks to all the listeners. 10th episode of the podcast. Keep the emails coming in, thecricketpodblast@gmail.com. Keep the Twitter flying, cricketpodblast. That's at cricketpodblast, I should say. Let's get involved. Let's talk about India. What's good, what's bad? Ashwin, no Ashwin. Are they going to have it?
Let's talk about India, baby. Let's talk about them and us.
Yeah.
Are you emotional on your 10th pod blast?
No.
Thanks very much. Okay, we've got a new section for you. It's a review of other pod blasts you might have heard, and it's called Slightly Pretentious Corner. Now, Desert Island Discs, some of you may have heard of it. Terrific podcast and indeed show. Now, the wonderful actor and director Simon McBurney on the last show said something absolutely terrific.
It's absolutely incredible, and I think it's so good that we're going to let it play, and that can play out this episode of the podcast. So it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And hello from
Simon McBurney.
What are we going to hear?
Well, on the edges of this world, I think we can still hear something of our deep past. I understood through my father that in Neolithic times, human beings felt that they were part of the world of animals. And the echoes of that time, the vestiges, can still be heard today, which is why I've chosen this piece, which is from the Chukchi people in the far northeastern part of Mongolia in the Arctic, and something of the past and of nature is present in the voice of this 12-year-old girl.